Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I immediately see that I'm steaming up my own glasses, so we're going to live life on the edge here. So joy to be back after so long. Probably some of you are looking at me and thinking, man, he looks older, because I am. It's not been almost a year. March 15th of last year, I spoke, and that turned out to be the last Sunday that we met for several months. But Lisa and I have been enjoying the Zoom, and well, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a slam, but I really appreciate the messages that have been brought. For me personally, Zoom is just a tremendous tool. I find particularly the preaching, for some reason that I can't describe, it's me, I guess, my personality, I find that I'm more focused, I remember things longer when doing it over Zoom compared to being here in person. Not that I want to do that for forever, but it's worked out very well for us. So today's topic, what does it mean to cast all your cares on Christ? And we're going to be focusing, if you want to turn in your Bibles, to 1 Peter chapter 5. There's a key verse there that's fairly well known, and we're actually going to camp out in 1 Peter for a little while. So I'm going to read this twice, first in the New King James Version, since it has the verbiage that we're probably most familiar with. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then reading it again, the New American Standard, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time, having cast all your anxiety on him. Notice a slight change of words there, because he cares about you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So in this day and age, and particularly over the past 9 to 10 months with the pandemic going on, and we've seen other forms of unrest in this nation, most recently with a number of rioters breaking into our nation's Capitol building. It's easy, I think, to develop cares or anxieties of different types. And people handle these in different ways. It can lead to living a life of fear or lack of contentment. It can lead to physical symptoms, sleeplessness at night, back pain, muscle tension, alcohol and drug abuse, stomach issues. The list goes on and on. Heart palpitations. I'm assuming those in the medical field, June, you probably have seen some of these from your patients. And yet, God in his word provides us the ways that we as Christians should deal with these anxieties, and that's not to carry them, but to cast them onto the Lord. So what does it mean to cast your cares on Christ? You know, we could spend a little time taking a look at the Greek, and we'll do that just briefly. And so the word cast here means to throw upon. So the other place in Scripture where this particular Greek word is used is when the disciples are preparing for the triumphant entry. And it says that in Luke 19:35 that the disciples cast their garments upon the donkey before Jesus mounted on it. And so you can imagine them taking their cloak off, their outer garment, and the animal's hair, and they're throwing it over the donkey. And so that's the meaning of the word cast. You know, the care. So it says to cast all your care upon him. So the Greek word there for care essentially means anxiety. Those things that worry you, have you you weighed down. And then it says, for he cares for you. So cares, the Greek word used for cares here is slightly different. And it means to be concerned or to care about someone, want to work on someone's behalf. And so you put all that Greek together, it seems to be properly interpreted, maybe best interpreted in the New American Standard and similar, when it says, having cast on all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. You know, we use the word cast in many different ways. We go to our mailbox and we collect all of our mail and we sort it out, and the junk mail gets cast aside. And perhaps that's a useful analogy to you. It's something that we don't want to worry about ourselves or deal with. We cast it aside, perhaps directly into the trash can. You know, when after a storm, we may have to clean up our property around our house, and there's down limbs and branches, and we gather those up and we cast them into a pile, and we light them on fire. And if it's a nice cool night, we might sit around it and roast some hot dogs, but otherwise it's burned up, it's gone. And so in the same manner, we want our anxieties, the cares of this world, to be like that we can cast them into a fire and they disappear. I see Nicholas isn't here, but he's a fisherman. And those that go fishing are familiar with casting, where you have a pole and on it is a line, and you whip it out, and that's called casting. You send the bait and the lure out a ways. And in preparing for this, I was just curious, how long can you cast? And the world record, by the way, is over 300 yards of casting. And so the analogy there maybe is also good. You want your worries, your anxieties far from you. And a fishing pole is a good way to get it there. But in this case, the analogy breaks down a little bit, because after you've cast it out, you usually reel it back in. And so as I was preparing, I actually found a woman speaking on a fishing boat about this topic. And she said, yes, cast your line out and then cut it. So that's... maybe that's a better analogy there. So don't reel the line back in this case, but cut the line. You know, but in the way that we talk about casting, we don't typically talk about casting our load upon somebody else. You know, we might be carrying something very heavily, and someone comes along and says, can I help? And you say, yeah, could you take one end of this, or could you carry this for me for a while? But we usually don't think about heaving it over to them. But that's exactly what the Lord asks of us, that our burdens that we are carrying, that we toss upon on the Lord. And Scripture is consistent about this. You know, what Peter is saying is not new, especially to the Jews, because David said this back in the Psalms that June quoted here, Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And so some commentators believe that Peter was alluding directly back to this verse in Psalms. You know, so this is great. You know, we've got someone that will carry our loads, carry our burdens. But how do we avail ourselves of this promise? So this is the point in the message where, in preparing, I kind of surprised myself. I was going to go into a lot of depth about the various ways that the Lord will carry our burdens for us and our cares and anxieties. I'm still going to touch on that toward the end. But looking specifically at Peter, I was kind of led to take another track to start out here. Because unfortunately, kind of like when we present the gospel is the good news of salvation to those that believe. But when presenting the gospel, we have to present the bad news to start with. You know, that we are sinners, that we cannot have a relationship with God because of our sin. And so we have to convince people of the bad news before we can tell them the good news. And in the same way, you know, learning to cast your cares upon the Lord, we have to address some bad news here first. And that is that we are a prideful people. Because going back to 1 Peter, we're going to work through 1 Peter backwards. You ever read your Bible backwards? Every now and then I find that it's kind of helpful to unpack things a little bit. So let's start with chapter 5 and verse 7. And Peter writes there, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." But then right before that, in verse 6, he gives the conditions. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time." And so we see that a condition for casting our burdens upon the Lord and him caring for us and taking care of it is that we be humble before the Lord. And if we continue to work back, we're going to see this subject of being humble and humility pervades 1 Peter. So let's go back another verse. Here he's talking to the young men of the church, and he says, "Young men, in the same way," and what's the same way? Well, we're going to look at that. "Be submissive to those who are older." So submission. So again, humility is at hand there. "And then all of you," so basically everybody, "clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." And so if you're prideful in heart, it says that God is opposed to you. And so that the grace that we desire in having our burdens lifted from us go to the humble and not to the proud. So that phrase, "in the same way," he says to the younger men, what's he referring to there? Well, in verses 1 through 4, he's talking to the elders, the leaders of the church. He says, "Therefore, I urge elders among you, as your fellow elder and a witness with the sufferings of Christ, and one who is also a fellow partaker of the glory that is to be revealed." And then come some instructions. "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, but not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not with greed, but with eagerness, nor yet as domineering over those assigned to your care, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And so even though it doesn't use the word humble or humility in there, it's clearly referring to that. You know, particularly when it says, you know, "not with greed, nor yet as domineering over those assigned to your care, but proving to be examples to the flock." And so we see that the elders are expected to serve in humility, and in the same way the young men are to submit to those that are older. Now we're going to go back a little bit. We're not going to go quite verse by verse backwards through, but we're going to look at several more verses. Chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, says something kind of interesting here. And it's talking about suffering for the name of Christ. And it says, "If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or, listen to this, a troublesome meddler. So it's easy to say, well, I'm not a thief or a murderer or an evildoer, what about a troublesome meddler? And again, I think we're talking about the sin of pride. People that need to have their word to get a word in into every situation. Backing up further in chapter 3, verse 7, talking about husbands, husband and wife relationships. You husbands in the same way. Oh, same way again. Some versions say likewise. We see likewise a lot there. In the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So, instructions to husbands that if you do not serve your wife or honor your wife in humbleness or humility, that your prayers will be hindered. And so, again, we see that stumbling block to receiving the grace of God being lack of humility or pride. And then going backwards from there, talking to the wives. In the same way, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your pure and respectful behavior. And so we see that in the same way, or likewise again, that wives are to be humble, to be subject to their husbands. Backing up a little bit further, we're going to look at just a couple more passages here. In chapter 2, verse 18, talking to servants, in our day and age, you might say employees, it says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh." And so again, we see humbleness in our relationships with our employers, that we are supposed to respect them, to be subject to what they ask us to do. And then in chapter 2, again, verses 13 through 14, we see this word submit again. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. And so again, we see leadership here, in this case, government leaders that we are to be subject to. In humility, we are to do what they ask us to do, to obey the laws. And so when I take this as a package, I guess I never looked at 1 Peter in this way, but I would encourage you to read through all of 1 Peter, because there are some additional examples in there. When you read it, thinking about, you know, how does this apply to me in being humble before the Lord, you can see that there are many facets there. And I would say that if you say to the Lord, you know, look, I'm humbled before you, and yet you show up on Capitol Hill and storm the Capitol, I'm not so sure. I say you're full of pride, that you are not being subject to government authorities. If you talk behind your employer's back, I think perhaps you are not being humble. If the relationship between husband and wife is contentious, there's probably a lack of humility somewhere. If you're not listening to the elders, you're probably have an issue with pride. If you are an elder and you're lording it over the flock, you probably have an issue with pride, and therefore, you need to take a look at your heart. And so Peter is often viewed as being a rough fisherman, not a literary poet or something here. But I do find it kind of interesting in the way that this all put together, where he started with kind of our distant relationships, our relationships to the government, our relationships to our employer. And then he pulled it in close to husband and wife. And then he began to go back out again, more in a spiritual direction, talking about the elders and their responsibilities, and then to the young men of the church being subject to the elders, and then finally to everyone in the church to be humble to one another, to exhibit humility to one another, and then finally to that relationship with God, where he says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and then you can cast on your cares upon him." And so, is it possible that you are finding it difficult to cast your cares upon him because of pride in some area of your life? And I leave that hanging as a question for you to think about. So that's the bad news. We're through that. Yeah. Phew. Let's look at the good news here. So how do we take advantage of casting our cares upon the Lord? So let's look at two specific ways. The first, I think, is you need to understand the Lord, who he is, what he can do for you. Now, first of all, the Lord has the power and authority to carry your cares, your anxieties. And secondly, we're going to look at that the Lord cares for you in all areas of your life. So let's look at that first one. The Lord has the power and authority to carry your cares. You may find out that perhaps you don't know the Lord that well, that you haven't dwelled on his presence, on his power, his majesty. And so I would encourage you to spend some time doing that. So I just picked out a few examples of Scripture. There are many, many, many. You can do a search for them on the internet or read through your Bible and underline them. But beginning in Genesis 1:1, we read that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Do you think that someone that created the heavens and the earth, the universe and everything that is in it, has the power to handle your cares? In Isaiah 40:26, it says, "Raise your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who brings out their multitude by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." You know, we as man, we search the skies with our telescopes and we launch them into space, and we have the Hubble telescope, and we find stars. And some of them we name, but most of them we number, because we don't have names for them. But it says that the Lord has names for every star and that he can name them. David repeats this in Psalm 147, 4 and 5. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite." You know, Jesus, moving into the New Testament, Jesus said to them in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So Jesus has all authority, unlimited. Is he not capable of handling your cares? He is. We see more about Jesus in John chapter 1, the first four verses. Very familiar to most of us. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind." And so we see here that Christ not only was with God, but he was God, and that he was very involved in the creation, that it was his hands that formed man in his image. We see that again in Romans 1:20, again, a verse that we're familiar with. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And so again, the maker of the world and his power is clearly seen. We can look around and see it, and therefore we are without excuse. In Ephesians 3:20 and 21, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Again, it talks about his power, and his power extends forever. Another verse that I didn't write down here, but it says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the same person that made the world and everything that is in it and has the power over sin has the power over our cares and our anxieties. And we see it in Revelation as they praising the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Revelation 5:13, and I heard every created thing which is in heaven or on the earth or under the earth or on the sea, and all the things in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, the honor, the glory, and the dominion forever and ever. And so those are just a few of the verses that I picked out that show the power, the strength, the majesty of our Lord and his capabilities of caring for you. And so if you're having problems getting your arms around, putting your cares on the Lord, understand that his capabilities is one of the key steps that can be helpful. So the second thing I want to look at is that the Lord cares for you in all areas of your life. And this is kind of where I started from, but I felt like I needed to address the issue of humility. And so this will be somewhat abbreviated, but let's look at a few of these verses. In Isaiah, do you struggle with fear? Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. So if you remember, I gave a brief devotional at our Christmas dinner, those of you that participated in that, and I spoke about fear not. And that would be another study that I would encourage you to do on your own, to get into the Word and look up all the verses where it says fear not, or in some versions, do not be afraid. And there are many of them. And one of the things that I noticed was that whenever God says fear not, almost always he gives a reason why. He says fear not because basically I am here. I am here to uphold you. Or I fear not because I bring you good news. And the good news is I am bringing you a Savior. And so fear. The Lord cares about you if you are fearful. Are you anxious? Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so anxiousness, cast all your anxieties upon him. And the way you do it here is by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Are you weary? Christ said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Christ wants your burden. He wants you to pick it up and cast it on him, to throw it on his back. not to gingerly transfer it, not to cast it out with a fishing rod and reel it back in to maul it over again, but to cast it out and cut the line. Are you weary? Do you lack peace? John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Are you questioning? You know, why? Why is this happening to me? Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so we often cast our cares upon the Lord, and he doesn't seem to be answering. You know, Paul did that. He said, 3 times I asked God to remove this thorn in the flesh. And the reply was that my grace is sufficient to you in weakness. You will find my strength in your weakness. And Paul goes on to say, you know, therefore I will glory in my weakness. And perhaps that's what God is asking of you. You know, God does not say everything is good, but he does say that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Perhaps you're being burdened by temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except something common to mankind, and God is faithful. So he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. And so when you are tempted, you know, cast that temptation upon Christ and ask him, what is the way of escape? And take it. It's provided to you. We might be concerned about our physical needs, whether we have food or whether we have clothing. And Jesus addressed this in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, when he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. All these things, we didn't read the verses before, it is talking about the basic necessities of life that we worry about. And he says, he goes on to talk about worry. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Perhaps you are lonely. Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. So even when you are lonely without people, you have Christ who says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. We could have looked at many others. You can go on the web and search for whatever your care or anxiety is, and you probably can find a verse that directly addresses that and memorize that. You know, perhaps there is someone here that is burdened by their sin, by not having a relationship with Christ, and Jesus wants to take that burden too. When he was talking to Nicodemus, he said this well-known verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And so Jesus wants you to cast that burden on him. In the same way, you have to humble yourself. You have to admit your sin and come to him and say, Jesus, I want you to carry this burden, to take this burden off from me. And he will. So what are some practical things you can do to cast your cares on him? Just briefly here. So we've looked at the first two, really. Humble yourselves before God. You know, make sure that your relationship with other people is right, that you're being humble in all aspects of your life as you approach God. Develop your trust in the righteousness and the power of God. And we talked about that before. Third is to keep your thoughts focused on Christ. You know, when we have our thoughts focused on the things of the world and what's going to happen to us, it becomes particularly burdensome. But Christ, the Lord, wants that. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." And so by having your mind stayed on Christ, on the Lord, you'll be maintained in perfect peace. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, again, familiar passages. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." And then finally, just a little practical one, and we read it short before in talking about worry. You know, Jesus said, you know, "Therefore do not worry, saying..." So he's talking to people that say this, you know, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" You know, you're propagating worry when you voice it. You know, "Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of this child? How am I going to eat the next day? How am I going to pay my rent?" So I'm not diminishing any of these concerns or cares at all. But the Lord wants you to cast those upon him. And by not repeating those things, but repeating scripture of the Lord caring for you, those burdens can be lifted. And so as we close, I just kind of want to think about where we are with our relationship. You know, do we need to first of all, trust in the Lord. What burdens are you carrying? And how can you cast those on him? Cast him so that he carries them, not that you take them back. And finally, do you need to humble yourself before your fellow man or before God in order to obtain the rights to cast these burdens upon him? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this focus on your cares. We thank you that you care for us, that you care for the things that bother us, and that you want to take this load from us, and that we are to cast the burdens upon you. Lord, we just pray that each of us as individuals, as we go through this next week, that we would dwell on you and not on our own anxieties, and that when these thoughts arise, when we are buffeted by Satan, that we would turn to your word and acknowledge your power and your strength and your love for us and desire to carry us, to give us peace and relieve us of these cares. We just pray, Lord, that through this next week, that each of us can be witnesses into this world, and that through our actions, people will want to know how that we're different. Lord, if there's anyone listening that does not know you, we pray that you would prompt them to look at their heart and their lostness, and that your desire to save them from a life of eternity away from you. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.